KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. The fate of more than two dozen military installations in California hangs in the balance this morning as the Base Realignment and Closure Commission begins voting on recommendations for saving money. Potential targets include the Naval Postgraduate School and the Defense Language Institute in Monterey and the Naval Surface Warfare Center in Riverside County. Fuel pumps at a West Los Angeles gas station served as a backdrop yesterday as U.S. Transportation Secretary Norman Mineta announced new plans to improve fuel economy for larger vehicles. But critics say the proposal doesn't do enough to reduce the nation's dependence on oil. L.A. Bureau Chief Alex Cohen has more.
Secretary Mineta, who arrived in a Lincoln Navigator SUV, said larger vehicles were seldom used as passenger cars when the nation's fuel economy program was first introduced in the late 1970s. But with the current popularity of minivans, pickup trucks, and SUVs, the need for new standards is clear. Mineta said the plan will force auto manufacturers to begin increasing fuel efficiency starting in 2008.
For example, a new minivan off the assembly line today gets an average 21 miles per gallon. Under our plan, a similar size minivan will have a category target of 23.3 miles to the gallon.
Mineta said over time, the new fuel efficiency program is expected to save 10 billion gallons of gasoline. But critics say the standards won't do enough. Jason Mark of the Union for Concerned Scientists in Berkeley says the proposed plan could encourage automakers to build larger vehicles.
Under the new rules, the federal government would create six different standards based on the size of the vehicle so that a larger vehicle like a Chevy Suburban would face a less stringent standard than a small vehicle like a Chevy Tracker. There is no guarantee that General Motors has to offset sales of inefficient Chevy Suburbans with sales of efficient Chevy Trackers.
Bigger vehicles already make up a large part of the U.S. market. They account for nearly half of all cars sold, says Steve Mazur, principal automotive engineer for the Automobile Club of Southern California. Mazur says there are plenty of ways for auto manufacturers to improve fuel economy, though it may mean higher sticker prices.
Things like going from a four-speed transmission to a five-speed transmission, more aerodynamic shapes, better lubrication, things that actually make the vehicle a better vehicle at the same time.
Mazur notes there are also ways that drivers can increase fuel efficiency. For example, he suggests keeping tires properly inflated and increasing speed gradually instead of with quick, jerky taps to the gas pedal. For the California Report, I'm Alex Cohen in Los Angeles.
Also in Los Angeles yesterday, a bipartisan show of support for a federal bill that would ban human cloning without restricting embryonic stem cell research. Governor Schwarzenegger joined Dianne Feinstein and Republican Congressman David Dreyer to back California's stem cell research, which they say could be threatened by another anti-cloning bill making its way through Congress. Meanwhile, a new study by the California Council on Science and Technology downplays claims that California's new stem cell research efforts will boost the state's tax revenues. And Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez leaves today for a three-day trip to Mexico, where he'll meet with President Vicente Fox. Nunez is critical of Governor Schwarzenegger's recent comments about border security. Republicans say Nunez is just trying to score political points in California. A Southern California high school is in disarray after word that the school has been denied certification. Hundreds of parents gathered at Crenshaw High in South Los Angeles Monday night to demand action and question school officials about the decertification. But as Adolfo Guzman-Lopez of KPCC reports, Crenshaw's problems also illustrate statewide deficiencies in public education.
There are few high schools where tradition and school loyalty run as deep as they do at Crenshaw High School. For years after its founding in 1968, the school's academic and sports programs were second to none. Education at Crenshaw High served as a stepping stone to college and professional careers for the mostly African-American students who walked its halls. Monday night at Crenshaw High's auditorium, a parent who goes by the name of Sister Heron stepped to the podium. Facing the school district superintendent, the teachers' union president, and half a dozen other school officials, she said the decertification by the Western Association of Schools and Colleges was a slap in the face to this community.
Having two children graduate this school in 92 and 97, when it was called a gifted magnet learning center, I can't tell you or express to you how devastating it is today for this school to have lost their accreditation.
Crenshaw High serves 2,600 students. The accreditation report cited the school for, among other things, rampant student tardiness and the failure of some teachers to stick to the state-mandated curriculum. The certification vouches for a high school's quality of teaching. It's something college admissions offices want to see, and even military recruiters look for. Crenshaw High math teacher Helena Conley says the problems pointed out by the association are the tip of the iceberg.
I don't think there's enough parent support. I don't think there's enough administration support, teacher support. I think a lot of people, students are not motivated for themselves. So there's a lot of problems all around.
LA Unified Superintendent Roy Romer told parents the school district has bought new textbooks and is increasing teacher training. He also says the school district will appeal the decertification and ask for another evaluation. Western Association of Schools and Colleges Director David Brown says some schools use certification as a wake-up call.
The value of the process has been much better understood in the last few years. Even though it's an onerous, time-consuming requirement every 6 years for a school to do a self-study, I think for the most part they recognize it as something positive and productive.
Loss of accreditation may jolt school administrators into working harder to improve a school, but UCLA education researcher John Rogers says Crenshaw's decertification is emblematic of larger statewide problems in public schools.
It's not a case of a bad principal or a bad set of teachers. In fact, there are a number of really good educators at Crenshaw. What we have in California is structural shortages. When we look at the state as a whole, we see California ranks either 49th or 50th in the number of students per teacher, in the number of students per librarian, in the number of students per counselor.
Rogers says more parents of students in low-performing schools around the state are taking action to uplift their schools. And that's how the meeting at Crenshaw High School closed. The father of a Crenshaw junior called on parents to get involved with their school, not just at times of crisis, because, he underlined, a parent is a child's first teacher. For the California Report, I'm Adolfo Guzman Lopez in Los Angeles.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, August 24th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment for Coverage of Healthcare in California, the California Farm Water Coalition, family farmers dedicated to using water to produce fresh fruits, vegetables, and grains for your family, online at farmwater.org. And TIAA CREF, serving those who serve others by offering financial services for the greater good. TIAA-CREF.org.